Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
The Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies has been on a four-day oversight visit in the Eastern Cape. On the line with us is the Communications Department and GCIS Chair, Portfolio Committee of Communications and Digital Technologies, Ms. Kusela Diko. Thank you so much for making time for us. A very good evening to you and welcome to Point of View.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you so much for having me, and a hearty good evening to your listeners as well.
Thanks so much for making time for us. I know you have, you yourself and your portfolio committee members have been on oversight visit in the Eastern Cape. Just talk to us about what it is you were going to look at.
Okay, so maybe let me start off by saying that these oversight visits that Parliament does are a critical component of the work of Parliament. As you know, we have a responsibility of lawmaking. Now, you can't make laws to solve problems that you don't know. So it was important that we go out there, interact with the people and understand where the challenges are. We also play an oversight role over the executive. You would have seen in Parliament, the executive government comes, gives us reports, and it's important that we go and stress test, I think, for a lack of a better word, what we are told. So we focused on the South African Post Office. It's you know, an open secret that the Post Office is in big trouble, and we wanted to get a sense of what the situation is on the ground. And I can say, you know, that it's just a very heartbreaking story. You go to post offices like we did in Flagstaff. You find old people who are standing there. The post office has been closed. They don't have access to any other place where they can get their grant money. Bereaved families who would have made deposits there, they're not able to access the money. So why I'm saying the oversight visits are important is because we get to pinpoint such problems. And in Flagstaff was a case in point that by the time we left, we had made contact with the Post Bank asking them to resolve these problems. So that was the one area. We also looked at the broadband rollout project. We have been saying that digital connectivity is really a critical enabler of the economy. So if we're talking about job creation, we're talking about economic growth and so forth, we need to ensure that people, all people, have access to these technologies and no one is left behind. So we are heartened by what we're seeing. You know, you go to a public library, you find it full of young people who are accessing this technology, who are downloading assignments and that type of thing. Pamela, I could speak the whole day on the program. Yeah. So it's been a mixed bag. It's truly been a mixed bag because there are areas where there are successes, but there are also, you know, very, very deep challenges that arise. And the key issue is a lack of coordination from government departments. So while we are here, we've got the post office, the business rescue practitioners, we've got the state information agency, you know, ICASA, the regulator, and you find that these problems can really be solved by them just sitting in a room and coming up with innovative solutions that confront the people on the ground.
This is encouraging, because hearing this from you as a portfolio committee chair, because over the years, the post office, well, different leaders in the post office have said, look, it doesn't seem like government understands our challenges. As we prod along, they don't seem to understand that we really are facing a difficult situation. We find ourselves here, and it's almost like we send the reports and so on, but nobody gets on the ground what's happening. You are just mentioning that business rescue practitioners came along with you. Do you think being on the ground with business rescue practitioners, for instance, there was a sense you got that people now get it? In other words, even as they do what they have to do with the post office, it will done with a bit more, you know, just, I don't know, because we've seen the workers complain. We've seen the staff on the ground, that there will be some sense of, you know, humility in how we address the issues of you know, I suppose, getting rid of the people that need to go. And also just, we understand the need on the ground for people, as you said, abogogo, who needs to get their grants. And you cannot possibly shut every door down, because for them, it's the only place they can get their money and do other things.
You know, I got worried, I think, when one of the entities said to us, you know, they thank Parliament for them coming here because then they can also understand. And I'm thinking, but what have you been doing all along? Mm-hmm. You know, we sit in our offices in Cape Town or Pretoria and we theorize the problems of the people. Yes, we may come from those communities, but in actual fact, we're not living the daily lived reality of the people. So I totally agree with you. On the post office, you know, yes, you'll go into the documentation and it will give you all the academic reasons on why the post office would have failed. But I truly believe that it's also been a lack of leadership at the post office and perhaps to a certain extent in government as well that should have been looking after the post office. Mm-hmm. Those problems are because the post office failed to evolve. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to a post office and they're still selling stamps and envelopes, you know. You get there, you ask them, but don't you think that this could be a hub, you know, where you have internet connectivity and you provide space because they've got absolutely beautiful real estate, which has gone derelict, you know, it's sitting empty. Then right next door, you find a community radio station, which is part of the same portfolio, and it doesn't have premises, but next door, the post office has premises, it needs rental, the community radio station is paying someone else. So it's practical solutions that if people were a little bit closer to the problems, I think that they can be resolved. But on the issue of the business risk practitioners, what we've asked as the portfolio committee is that show us the plan. You know, I think they're tired of me now because I keep saying, where is the plan? You're asking for 3.4 billion rand from the National Treasury. And the Treasury, and we believe that they are correct, says that we're not going to fund you if you can't tell us how in 6 months you're going to be sustainable. And, you know, when we have these discussions, we're not thinking about the mama who is in Port St. John's has to travel 94 kilometers to Mthatha in order for her to get a service from the post office. So we're hoping that it has opened the eyes not only of us as parliamentarians, but also, you know, the people who are doing the daily work, that there is a need. I mean, I'm probably saying something that is so obvious, but there is a need to constantly just touch base with people on the ground and make sure that the solutions and the things that you are proposing are actually working.
I'm very cognizant of the fact that, of course, I mean, you've just come into this role, so I'm not putting this on you, but I'm curious whether you had seen anything, you've had sight of anything that the post office had sent to Treasury, or has it always been the back and forth and no real concrete plan was presented to Treasury because the post office keeps saying, we're not getting the money, we've been asking for the money. You are now, you know, an oversight kind of role here. Have you seen what the post office has presented to Treasury, or you haven't quite gotten the sense that it's adequate?
What I've seen, so when we came in, we asked them to, we actually had a 3-day, we called it a capacity building workshop, where we asked all of them to come and help us understand their business. We also went, I mean, we did our own research, we got the business rescue plan that they would have been mandated to deliver after their appointment. Now, it's a legal document, you know, it does the ordinary. We'll look for partnerships, we'll do this, we'll do this. So what we then said to them is that now that we are here, so you did speak about the fact that one of the first things you need to do is to restructure the operations of the post office, look for areas of cost cutting. You have culled no less than 1,000. No, I'm lying. You've culled 4,800 jobs.
Yeah.
So 4,800 people are out of work. You have closed 400 branches of the post office. Yes, you may have achieved that. It was agreed to. It was a difficult process. It's done. But now tell us about the way forward, because we can't think that that cost saving measure, if it's not balanced by a revenue generating strategy, it's going to be sustainable. So what happens now? That plan is not forthcoming. We've called them in the portfolio committee at least 3 times. And this is the discussion that, I mean, we also took the initiative. I spoke to the chairperson of appropriations in Parliament to say, can we get a supportive ear, you know, just around how the National Treasury can assist the post office. Those discussions are still ongoing. But Treasury is clear. It says, why must we fund, you know, and that plan is not coming through. So, you know, in our first meeting, the business rescue practitioners were not there, and I think we made a noise about it that they've decided to take us seriously. I don't know whether the day zero that said is end of October is true or not, I'll be honest, because I have been asked before that, do you think that this was just a strategy to put pressure on the Treasury? Yes, the Treasury had committed to this 3.4 billion. Let me not pretend that that didn't happen. They did commit, but they're saying that there are conditions to it, and those conditions they had put up front.
And I suppose, so, like everybody, they've been putting conditions for everybody. Nobody's just is getting this money without conditions.
Indeed. So we're hoping, we did say to the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies as the Portfolio Committee that he needs to step in decisively. If the business rescue practitioners are unable to go and look for partners to work with the post office, then it is his responsibility as the executive authority to do that. He's issued a statement to that effect. We disagree with him on privatization. We're saying it's not a foregone conclusion that you must privatize the post office. But look at partnerships. You have e-commerce companies that, while are selling online, somebody needs to deliver the package to the house, that last mile delivery. You can get the post office such partnerships. Use your 657 branches. You know, that's a bigger network than some of the banks.
Absolutely.
In this country.
It still has the broadest network, actually.
Yeah. So use those. If you must bring in people that, you know, you share a similar product line with or whatever, they take up space, they pay rent. So be creative. And we're hoping that the minister really, he will have get some traction in those type of engagements that he intends to have with the private sector.
Just a quick one before you leave, because we don't have much time. How quickly are we to finally migrating? I know this conversation, digital migration, has been a conversation we've had for a long time. There's been some pushback, you know, the pushback from some NGOs. But when is this finally happening?
Pamela, you really don't want to start me on that conversation and what we have seen on the ground. We have a problem now. So we're given a date, 31st of December is analog switch off. Everybody will be migrated. You go into the post office, which houses the set-top boxes. You can see, yes, perhaps the numbers are dwindling, meaning that these boxes are out there in houses and whatever. But you listen to the SABC on the other side. They're saying, we're not ready for this. The last time you switched off, we lost 40% of our audience, 40% of the audience. Then, while that is happening, and we're still trying to figure that out, SABC is telling Centec that no, those boxes must be removed. Switch off DTP. We want to migrate to satellite. And we're saying, but how? In the middle of, at the tail end of the process, where billions have been spent rolling out these set-top boxes, how is this going to work? So government says 31 December, we're not sure. We have scheduled in our parliamentary program an update on the migration process and obviously progress towards that switch-off date of the 31st of December. We're skeptical, and I think we've got a lot of questions as the portfolio committee that we need to put to government in this regard.
So, I mean, you obviously know that we expect you to be the intermediary between SABC and Centec, and those relations, I think, have not yielded much results. When it comes to certain things and contracts that have been signed. And so I suppose that's the work that we expect you to be doing going forward.
Indeed. The minister is in the process of appointing, some process of appointing somebody, but the intention is that the department is going to drive the mediation process between SABC and Centec. SABC owes Centec a billion rand. They're trying to some success. I mean, at least they are covering the current debt while they also seek to service the historical debt. You know, you listen to both sides. It's a difficult one. I don't know how the minister is going to resolve it because while you want the SABC to be commercially viable, the reality is that Centec needs to be commercially viable too. And the SABC is their largest clients. Mm-hmm. Now, with that debt of $1 billion, it's really draining their resources. Mm-hmm. They also then have community media on this other side that is supposed to carry, and community media owes them $440 million. I just hope that there's a speedy resolution to that, because now we don't want to have a conversation about a Centec that's failing. And we're hoping that that's also going to lead to perhaps diversification of their product offerings, or whatever decision government thinks is correct. So we're watching that closely. There's been a serious attempts between the two boards and the two executives at the SABC and Centec to try and find common ground, even though they still have a case with the Competition Tribunal, where the SABC feels that the Centec transmission rates are too high. Mm-hmm. The Competition Commission didn't agree with them. When you listen to Centec, they show us infrastructure that costs millions, if not billions, to put up, and they're saying somebody has to pay. And unfortunately, the SABC is their largest client. So there is work in trying to resolve that.
Lots to get through, but really, thank you so much for taking time to just give us an overview of some of the things that you are able to assess for yourselves on the ground 4 days while you are doing your oversight visits. Thanks very, very much for your time. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies, Kuselo Diko, is the one who we've just been speaking to. They've been out and about as a committee. We've only touched literally on two things, but lots more to touch on. But we will obviously get more time at another occasion to try and deal with some of the issues that we really need to get through.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.